Now, over the weekend on January 1st, a trove of books, TV shows, music, and more from the 1920s entered what's called the public domain. This happens at the start of every year when legal protections on certain creative works expire. And one example from this year is a 1926 children's book by the author A.A. Milne. It's called, you guessed it, Winnie the Pooh. Here is the author reading from it.
Pooh and Piglet go hunting and nearly catch a woozle. The Piglet lived in a very grand house in the middle of a beech tree. And the beech tree was in the middle of the forest. And the Piglet lived in the middle of the house. Next to his house.
Jennifer Jenkins directs the Center for the Study of the Public Domain at Duke University, and she is here to tell us more. Welcome.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much for having me, Scott.
This is quite a list of creative works now in the public domain. There's Winnie the Pooh we've talked about, a song George Gershwin wrote, Someone to Watch Over Me, Ernest Hemingway's first novel. But to back up, what changed legally on January 1st for these works?
The copyrights over all of these older works expired after a 95-year term, and they went into the public domain where they are free for anyone to use, to copy, or to build upon in their own creative works. And spoiler alert, Scott, they never find the woozle.
They don't. Okay.
They
okay.
don't, well. Sadly.
Staying with this Pooh example, does this mean that anyone can print copies of these old books for schools, libraries, without having to pay a fee?
That's exactly what that means. It means anyone can print a low-cost copy and for every school kid in the country. And it also means, though, that people can reimagine and revisit the Poohniverse, if you will, from that 1926 book in their own works. And so, you know, if I want Pooh and Piglet to go to Mars, or, you know, the Pooh characters tackle online bullying, I can write those stories now and use those yeah. beloved characters from A.A. Milne.
You know, that was actually going to be my question, right? Is can someone write the sequel where, you know, Eeyore is the star? But you've got the better examples for me. But just to be clear, as far as the merchandising rights for Pooh, that's a separate question, right? Disney still has those, yeah?
Yes, that's absolutely right. So the merchandising rights are a separate question. So Disney still has rights, for example, in the words Winnie the Pooh for all sorts of products, you know, backpacks, onesies, pajamas, lunchboxes, you name it. What has expired on January 1st of this year are the copyrights in that first initial 1926 Winnie the Pooh book. So the plot, the settings, the dialogue, the beloved characters, everyone except for Tigger, who doesn't show up for 2 years. Those are all going into the public domain. Another thing Disney still owns, though, importantly, are the copyrights in its later subsequent books. So later books, later movies, those are still under copyright.
Now, in addition to books and film, you also found some sound recordings from before 1923 that are now in the public domain. The musicians from then include Ethel Waters, Fanny Brice, and Mamie Smith, who was the first black artist to record a blues song called Crazy Blues. Let's hear that. Now, this is just some delightful cultural preservation. And when you listen to things like this, do you wonder what people 95 years hence will be uncovering from 2022?
So I do wonder who the Mamie Smiths of today are. And I actually ask my students every year who we will still be listening to 100 or so years from now. Beyonce tends to come up, Taylor Swift. Kendrick Lamar, but I do wonder, because one of the key things going on with the public domain is that very few works actually are still commercially viable after 75, 80, 85, 90 years. But for the other 99% of works, their copyright term endures, meaning that they're still presumptively off limits, but no one is actually benefiting from continued copyright because the works are out of print, they're out of circulation. And so that's one of the key things about the public domain, that when all of these works go into the public domain, they become free for us to rediscover and in many cases to rescue from obscurity. Sadly, many of the silent films are lost to history because they were on substrates that disintegrated or they were destroyed. And so they simply don't exist anymore.
Jennifer Jenkins directs the Center for the Study of the Public Domain at Duke University. So great to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me. It was wonderful talking to you too.